3 days after being repeatedly stabbed on stage as he was preparing to give a lecture, author Salman Rushdie is recovering, but his agent says he suffered liver damage and is likely to lose an eye. The man accused of attacking him has been charged with attempted murder. Jeffrey Brown speaks with a fellow author and friend of Rushdie's.
Salman Rushdie, the man and the writer and the wider impact of the attack against him. Joining me now is Ayed Akhtar. He's a Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright and novelist. He's also the current president of the free speech organization Pan America, a position previously held by Salman Rushdie himself. And Ayed Akhtar, thank you for joining us. Salman Rushdie is your friend, I know, but you've also told me that he's a role model. Tell me what he is for you. What do you see in him?
Well, I grew up in a Muslim family. And, you know, when Salman wrote the Satanic Verses in 1988 and in 1989, the fatwa came down and he was, price was put on his head by the Iranian government. It was a big event in my life, and it was a big event in my community's life and in my family's life. And that book had such a pivotal effect on my understanding of the force of literature, what writing could do, how it could question the most fundamental things you believed. And it could do so in a playful way, in a satirical way, it could do so in a brilliant way, and it could get you into a lot of trouble. Maybe that wasn't the part of it that was the role model, but it was such a powerful experience to read that book as a young person, a young writer, as a young Muslim, and it changed my life. And it really did shape so much of my body of work to come.
What larger story has he been telling in his writings, including in the Satanic Verses?
Well, as any great writer, truly great writer, he's been telling all kinds of different stories. But I think the essence of what is at the heart of Salman's body of work is the power of storytelling and the power of stories and narrative to shape countries, to shape histories, to shape a religion, a way of thinking for centuries. And one of the things that is so powerful about what Salman has done over the years is that he playfully, brilliantly questions and provokes and prods and tests to see whether or not those stories hold up.
You know, like you, I have been with him in formal and informal settings and typically seen little or no security. He made a decision about how he was going to live his life.
I haven't spoken to him extensively about it, but it was clear that at a certain point, Salman believed that, you know, he couldn't, you know, he'd spent almost a decade in hiding, and it had taken a toll. He wrote about it very eloquently in his memoir, Joseph Anton. And there was a moment at which he decided it was time to live. It was time to go back to life.
I referred to the work that he's done at Pan America that you're doing now, and the other ways that he's worked in the area of freedom of expression. This became important to him, clearly, especially after his own experience?
Yeah, I mean, I think understanding, you know, Penn stood up for him very powerfully at the time. And, you know, who would understand better the consequences of freedom of expression than Salman Rushdie because of what happened to him? You know, I think it's such an important reminder to all of us that the freedom to think and the freedom to express that thought has to be a paramount value in our society, even beyond the so-called harms of speech, you know, because of course there are many people around the world who believe that Salman has harmed them in writing the Satanic Verses, but that can't stand alongside the claim that he has the freedom to say and to write what he must.
Well, what about the cause of expression now? I mean, why does this attack matter in a larger sense? What do you see?
I think increasingly, you know, we're seeing a diminished support for the freedom of expression and increased concern about the harms that speech can bring. And so on some level, there's a larger conversation about controlling speech or controlling what it is that's acceptable to say. And there are lots of avenues by which that's happening. This is a really clear reminder that debate is secondary, ultimately, to the freedom to express. Even Salman, I think, once said, if I don't have the freedom to offend you, then it isn't really freedom of expression.
You told me you've got a quote from Salman Rushdie that you thought was appropriate.
Yeah.
You want to read that?
Yes. Yeah. So this is Salman. A poem will not stop a bullet. A novel cannot defuse a bomb. But we are not helpless. The battle is not only on the battlefield. Even after Orpheus was torn to pieces, his severed head floating down the river, singing, reminding us that song is stronger than death. We can emulate Orpheus and sing on, and not stop singing until the tide turns and a better day begins.
All right. We all want to send our best to Salman Rushdie. Ayad Akhtar, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jeff.
And we thank you, Ayad Akhtar and Jeffrey Brown, for that conversation.